Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 237. Tomorrow we read Parshas Toldos, and perhaps the most controversial part of Parshas Toldos is the very end of the Parsha, where Rivka hatches a plan so that Yaakov will be able to go and take the brachos that Yitzchak is going to give to his children, which will declare the future, their destiny, etc. And so Rivka hatches upon this plan that Yaakov is going to do it instead of Esav. And so the plan is, he's going to go run out quick, and with Rivka's help, going to have the food prepared, and then he's going to come back, and to Yaakov's possible worry that Ulayim Usheni Avi, perhaps he's going to touch me, and I feel very different than my brother does, he's all hairy, so I'm going to put on his coat or costume or something like that, and I'm going to dress up, and because of Yitzchak's blindness, he won't know the difference. Of course, he does really know the difference. Hakol kol Yaakov ha'yadayim yidei Esav. He says, the voice that I hear sounds like Yaakov, and the feeling that I get when I touch him, it feels like Esav. And so, in the end, he might know, he doesn't know, but in any event, it works. And Yaakov gets the brachos instead of Esav, and Esav comes back, and he's all upset, and he cries out, etc. So that's the story of Yaakov and Esav. And we know that there are a lot of problems with this story. Of course, simply the moral problem, right? So, did he lie? Is it okay to lie? So there's a fascinating discussion that comes from this. So the first thing, when you look at Rashi, and this is one perspective out there, there was no lying at all. There was just simply no lying, and anything that happened that Yitzchak was deceived, he deceived himself. For example, he comes and he says, "Vayomer Yaakov alav, Vanochi Esav becharecha, I am Esav, your Bechar, your firstborn." So, I mean, obviously that is a lie. How can you say that Anochi Esav Becharecha is anything but a lie? I am Esav your Bechar. He is not. He is Yaakov. He is non-Bechar. So Rashi says, oh, no, you misread it. Anochi Esav Becharecha means Anochi Hamevilach Ve'Esav Hu Becharecha. Anochi, comma, I am Esav Becharecha. But Esav is your firstborn. So Rashi attempts to understand this without any sort of lie. Now, that's not the way we should talk. We should definitely be above board. We should be v'yisem nikim. We should never be suspected of such type of behavior and such type of speech. But perhaps here it's justified. But he didn't lie. And that's Rashi's point. There was no actual lie here. Rabbi Nebachia says he didn't lie for a different reason. He had already, in the beginning of the parsha, bought the Bechorah, the firstborn ship, from his older brother Esav with a bowl of lentils because Esav hadn't needed it. So, if Yitzchak had intended of giving this blessing to the Bechor, so technically Yaakov was the Bechor. So there is no lie, according to Rabbi Nebachia, either. So Rashi says there's no lie because of this technical comma, and Rabbi Nebachia says there's no lie because, you know, he had already bought the firstborn ship. Others say that, yeah, it is a lie. Of course it's a lie, but it's a justified lie. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a very important essay on this. He talks about how can it be that Yaakov, who is associated with the Midah of Emes, Titein Emes the Yaakov, how can it be that Yaakov is associated with something which is so deceitful? Okay, so he talks about how you have to define MS properly. So yesterday we talked about in the 10 how sometimes it's okay to lie because there are other values, or at least to change the truth and then say outright lie. That's a whole debate. But to change the truth a little bit in order to have another value take its place. Like yesterday we talked about the value of modesty, the value of humility, all of those values perhaps at some point can go before the value of truth. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky gives the following example. He says, let's imagine you have a guy being chased by a murderer, and the person who's being chased hides in your house, and the murderer is knocking on your door and asking, is Yankel in the house? Okay, so is Yankel in the house? So a truthful person, a person who only tells the truth all the time, will say, yeah, of course he's in the house. He's right here in the closet. Come and kill him. But of course, the reasonable human being will say, I can't tell the truth now because that'll cause somebody's death. And when somebody has this greater perspective, this greater picture of what the lie will cause, perhaps the lie is justified. He quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, "V'im ikesh tispatol." When if a person, you're dealing with a crooked person, sometimes you have to act crookedly. And indeed, Yaakov has to do this a few times in his life. He has to do this with Lavan multiple times. And he says, but be very careful with this. V'hine matzino sh'afal pi sh'mutol l'shakar b'pnei ha'shalom. You're sometimes allowed to lie for peace. Mikol makom al ha'adam li'zaher sh'lo yargil es atzmo lomar sheker. You can't get yourself accustomed to saying lies. Afilu ba'ofen sh'yesh tzorach l'kach. Even when you think you need to. U'mishem sh'zem alamdu l'shakar. Because the line and the slippery slope of deceit is very, very steep, and one who gets caught up with this once and says, oh, it's justified, will, hopefully not, but will can possibly fall down that slippery slope and become somebody who is now no longer an ish emes. Okay, so that's the problem. That's why it's fraught. And so maybe for a Yaakov Avinu, a Titein Emes LiYaakov type of person whose trait is emes, such a person can handle that challenge. Okay, so that's another possibility. And others say alongside that, that it's a justified lie, but it's a lie. And when you're dealing with such a person like Esav, sometimes that's the only tool you have in your toolbox. Others understand that the lie wasn't really a lie as much as it was meant to be caught. He was meant to be caught. And it was sort of like, maybe call it a prank. How could that possibly be? So the Ksava Kabbalah says, in Yaakov's words, you see that. He says, Ulayimusheni, Avi, maybe my father will feel me and feel that I'm not Esav, I'm only Yaakov. So that Ulay actually sounds like, Ulay sounds like he wants it to happen. Pen means lest, that I don't want it to happen. But the word Ulay can mean that I do want it to happen. He wanted to get caught. How could he want to get caught? Maybe, according to the Ksava Kabbalah, it's because he was so uncomfortable with this, he wanted to get caught. But Rav Hirsch has this beautiful interpretation. Rav Hirsch says, no, really this whole thing was a prank of some sort. Rivka's point was to prove to Yitzchak how easily he was fooled this entire time by Esav. He thought Esav is a big tzaddik, he asks some of these fancy questions about halacha, etc. So she wants to show Yitzchak, her husband, through this deceit, how easily he is fooled. And so Rav Hirsch discusses this at length, how, I mean, really it's a prank. He's getting up in a costume, and it's silly, of course he's going to get caught. But that was exactly the point. The point was to get caught, and the point was that, I think his words were, I haven't seen in a while, that Rivka's deception was Yitzchak's undeception. That this deception, the goal was to show that the entire time you had been deceived by Esav, and his righteousness was literally only skin deep. So that's another idea, that perhaps really the goal was not to lie and have the lie stick and not get caught, but the lie was to get caught, and so it was more of a prank than a lie. Whether or not that's okay or not is a different discussion. That might not be such a good thing to do all the time either, to prank people and make them believe things. But again, the goal isn't a lie and to steal. So far we've seen that it's justified. Rashi says that, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says it wasn't even a lie. Some people say it's a justified lie, that it's really considered to be truth because it's a greater good, like we saw Yaakov Kamenetsky and others. Rav Hirsch and Ksava Kabbalah seem to say that he meant and intended to get caught. And because he meant and intended to get caught, so it's not a lie because the goal was to get busted and to not get caught. But I saw a very interesting point made by Rabbi Golden in his book Unlocking the Torah Text. And it's something which is actually obvious when you think about it. It's really remarkable how much the rest of Yaakov's life is tied up in being lied to. Right? So how often is Yaakov lied to? How many times are other people perpetrating deceit on him? So first of all, he's deceived by his father-in-law, Lavan. Lavan is obviously presents the wrong wife to him, Rachel versus Leah. It's supposed to be Rachel and ends up being Leah. But think about the other side of the story. Leah and Rachel end up being the people, the objects of that deceit, and they as well are involved. Leah is participating as well. And that Golden points out is also obviously very hurtful for the person who you end up marrying, you know, to be able to have to bear that every time you look at the person. It's overwhelming to think that everybody, Rachel, is involved in this trick, even if she did it for good reasons. But Leah is also involved in this trick. Everybody around him seems to be deceitful. Then later, Yaakov, over the course of his time with Lavan, is deceived again and again. Then finally, Yaakov is deceived by his own family. Shimon and Levi want to go after Shechem. Why? Because they had this elaborate ruse. Everybody's going to get a bris mila, and then because they get a bris mila, we'll be able to marry each other. But really, it was about weakening them so that they could destroy the city and take back their sister, Dinah. But again, Yaakov, you see his bitterness later on when he talks about Levi and Shimon at how frustrated he was with that deceit. But again, he is the victim there, and here he was perhaps the perpetrator. And finally, of course, Yaakov undergoes the worst of deception when his beloved son Yosef is taken from him, and his children say that, you know what, it just was an accident. And so he lives years and years of his life losing his beloved son because of this deceit. It seems very clear that whether or not he did the right thing or he did the wrong thing, whether he did lie or he didn't lie, there's something about Yaakov's life where the truth is very difficult to come by. Perhaps it's Mida Keneged Mida, perhaps it's exactly the challenge of his life to try to live in a world where everybody around him is deceitful and still be an honest person. But one also might suggest that it's a Mida Keneged Mida, that even though it's justified, and even though it's the type of thing that maybe he needed to do in this story at the end of Parshas Toldos, but you understand that when you play with fire, sometimes you get burnt.